We are in the midst of our Rewilding the Church series, reflecting on what church is about when it is all stripped away. I don't know about you, but it is exhausting work, this stripping away. And I know I'm not alone. We have all been in this space of change, loss, and lament. This work is necessary in any loss and grief journey. We experience the depth of painful loss and change, a space of naming through tears and words, experiencing disorientation of the uprootedness, and allowing that which grounded us to lay before us while we catch our breath. Our neighbors have a yard that they have been rewilding for a while. In front of their house is a huge tree that fell down a good time ago, but instead of clearing it away, they allowed it to remain. It's been there long enough now that the huge log is beginning to decompose and blend back into the landscape surrounding. You wouldn't notice it by driving by. You need to either slow down or walk by to see it. What surrounds it now are ground cover and trees that have transitioned from saplings to young, maturing trees. The fallen tree is now nourishing the new growth. We certainly have been feeling the impact of the pandemic much like a fallen tree. How we worship, gather, and operate is different. I looked back and saw when we first started live streaming our services, and it was on March 22. We are one day more than 5 months of worshiping together in this new way. Our ecosystem of relating with one another changed so rapidly, but now after 5 months is beginning to feel vaguely familiar, whether we like it or not. So I would describe our location on this journey as one in which we are in the beginning stages, after the tree has fallen, to look up and around to survey what is here. We are beginning to ask, what and who are we now that we are here? What has occurred to me as I reflect on this image of looking up and around is that we are not alone. And this is reflected in our Romans text this morning. God's grace and members of this body remain intact. Sure, the landscape has changed, but worship, as defined last Sunday by Phil, is the alignment of creation with God's purpose. We then are in sync with God's purpose of shalom and harmony. The ecosystem of our lives with one another is worship. This definition is much broader and deeper than what simply happens on a Sunday morning. Paul speaks of this in the Romans passage as our full-bodied worship, that which happens beyond church walls, as in the way we interact and serve the world around us, where each member's identity and essence becomes intertwined with the other, where our worship is a kind of embodied gift sharing, a place where each gift is valued and each member uses their gift on behalf of the body as a whole. This body and its members are to be aligned with God through the renewing of our mind and not by conforming to this world. The Isaiah text was written to a community of people in exile. It calls the people to listen, look, and remember from where they came. This voice challenges those experiencing the exile to not be conformed to the world in seeing the devastation and destruction of a people, but remembering where they came from, who they are. On the second half of the first verse, it says, "Look to the rock from which you were cut, and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave you birth." In remembering and listening, their minds were to be transformed and renewed to see and hear that God's steadfast love will endure forever. The heavens will vanish like smoke, it says. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. Unlike the Israelites in exile, who were living in a place of defeat, we have lived in a legacy of a Eurocentric telling of history, where Anglos settled and established a patriarchal white order that was termed Manifest Destiny. It was believed that Anglos were bringing civilization, democracy, wealth, individualism, political power, and independent self-rule to an ungodly place and peoples. The language can make it sound like the settlers were the saviors. The downfall is that when we look with the eyes of Jesus, we see that this way of rule has dehumanized indigenous, black and brown people groups. It has valued wealth of a few rather than the thriving of a whole. It has valued individual rights over a collective good. Even though we may see the sins of the past, we do need to acknowledge that we are products of this way of life, and our theology and image of God have been influenced by it. For we too are tempted. We're tempted to worship blessings, health, wealth, and possessions instead of God. We're tempted to dehumanize those who do not believe as we do. We are tempted to use power over instead of empowerment at the grassroots. We are tempted to impose our own image of God onto others instead of looking for where God already is present. So what does it look like to be transformed by the renewing of our minds when our minds are so immersed in a certain narrative? Perhaps we need to be doing a bit of looking back to look forward, like in Isaiah. We need to look, listen, and learn anew from Jesus, from the people of Israel, who experienced numerous exiles, from present-day people groups who have lived the life of exile, our African-American brothers and sisters, indigenous peoples, refugees and asylum survivors, As we learn from others, we begin to see a fuller picture of the body of Christ. Recently, our family participated in a tour of an African-American cemetery, a slave cemetery in Quicksburg, Virginia, just 30 minutes north of here. It was discovered in the recent past and restored. They planted a garden in remembrance. And they provide tours, and intentional times of reflection are offered during this tour as an effort to educate, to retell the story, and to remember our past. When we engage with one another in this way, when we remember our past in order to look forward, we see and begin to engage every person as a child of God to be valued, respected, and honored. And in doing so, we worship God. We become a living testimony of the gospel. We become a part of a living and breathing ecosystem of God's salvation story. Our living becomes less about our own self and more about God's glory and ongoing story. It is comforting to know that we are not alone. We are in this together, offering our gifts one to another that sustain one another and offer true worship to our Creator. How might the act of remembering all of our story from which we have come to inform where we go? What are ways we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds in God's Spirit? How can we practice our many gifts together in our present reality? Well, we'll practice this morning, looking back to look forward. And one of those ways is to confess together that we have been a product of conforming to this world and once again are in need of God's grace. Join with us in the confession as written in the bulletin. God of all life, hear our confession for worshiping our health, wealth, and possessions instead of you as source of all life. Forgive us. For forgetting that each person is made in your image. Forgive us. For failing to see your empowering, transforming vision for ourselves and for your creation around us. Forgive us. Grant us your mercy as we seek to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, living in a community with many members. We walk together, united in faith, and sent out to serve as embodied worship.